Welcome, Ripley. I'm so sorry I didn't greet you properly earlier. It's like conducting a symphony, making sure everything's ready on time. We're so happy to have you in our home. Boone's told me a lot about you, and I've been dying to get a look at you. I knew I was right. He finally picked a good one. He told his parents about me? Ma, Boone tries to interrupt, but Mrs. Thrasher releases me and hugs him hard. Shush your mouth, boy. I'm speaking the truth. We've missed you. We're coming up to Nashville soon. Your daddy promised me a night out on the town, and it's time to pay up.
Anytime you want, Ma. You know my door is always open, or I'll get you a hotel if you want to stay in town.
I've told you a million times I'm fine with staying at the Holiday Inn. It's plenty fancy enough for us.
Don't you dare stay at the Holiday Inn, Ma. You deserve the best I can give you, since that's what you always gave me.
My heart plops into a big, sloppy puddle on the floor. Boone is a mama's boy, and it's the sweetest thing I've ever seen. Sit down and eat. My ham will get cold if I take the time to argue with you about this nonsense. We sit down at the table, with Mr. Thrasher at the head and Mrs. Thrasher at the foot near the kitchen. Everyone joins hands as Boone's dad leads us in a prayer. By the time his mom serves dessert, it's official. I've completely fallen in love with Boone's family. Well, most of them.
23. I could wring my brother's neck just hard enough not to kill him. It's clear he's not sure about Ripley and doesn't like how fast things have moved with us. But that's too damn bad. There's one thing I know about Ripley now. If I give her too much time to think, she'll talk herself out of giving me a shot, and I'll lose my chance forever. I'm not about to let that happen.
Your brother hates me, Ripley says as I close the door to the garage apartment.
He doesn't hate you. I drop her bags on the bench at the end of the bed.
If looks could kill, you'd be picking my body bag up off the living room floor.
The very thought of Ripley in a body bag makes my stomach turn, threatening the ham and scalloped potatoes I ate for dinner. Don't say that. He's just looking out for me.
Was he the same way with Amber? She asks.
I hate to admit it because I know Ripley's going to draw some sort of conclusion from it, but it's going to be the wrong one. But still, I can't lie. He didn't like Amber. He only met her twice, and both times she didn't give him a whole lot to like. I promise he won't be like that with you. He's in protective older brother mode right now. I think it's easy for him to forget I'm 32 years old and totally capable of making my own decisions. He thinks you're making a mistake with me, that you shouldn't have gotten involved with someone else so quickly. I can't say I disagree with him, Boone. I was supposed to be the rebound, but you didn't follow the rules. I'll tell him the same thing I'm about to tell you. It doesn't matter how much time there was between, because it was pretty fucking apparent once I got my head out of my ass that I was dead wrong about Amber. I wanted the line of bullshit she sold me, and I was too fucking blind to realize that's exactly what it was. Bullshit.
What if I can't give you what you want?
I don't know how to do this. Ripley waves toward the house as she keeps going.
You have a perfect family. A mom and dad who love each other and care about you. A brother who would kill someone for you. A sister-in-law who isn't a bitch and a nephew who's as sweet as can be. They even have the perfect dog.
So, what the hell does that matter?
You know what I had? A murdered mother who slept around to try to escape her reality of being married to an asshole drunk who didn't have a problem showing her and me the back of his hand whenever he felt like it. Oh, and don't forget a lying, freeloading bitch of a cousin and an aunt I haven't seen in close to 20 years.
That doesn't mean shit, Ripley. You're loyal and kind, won't accept help unless you're forced, and I'm pretty fucking sure you wouldn't hesitate to throw yourself on a grenade if it meant it would save someone you love. She goes quiet, and a rough breath leaves her lungs.
But that doesn't mean I know how to be part of something. I know your brother is just looking out for you, but maybe he's right. Maybe you do need more time before you figure out what you want.
I close the gap between us and yank her against me. I don't need time to know that you're not like any woman I've ever met before, and everything you are is everything I want. Don't try to push me away just because you're scared of what's happening here.
I'm not scared. I look her in the eye. Sugar, you're fucking terrified. I lift a hand to skim along her cheek. You told me that girls like you don't get a happily ever after, and I told you I was going to prove you wrong. I'm a man of my word. I'm done asking you to give me a shot. I'm taking it because I know I can make you happy. I can give you everything you've been afraid to want. You want front porch swings and little dark-haired babies? I'm the man who's going to give them to you. Do you understand me, Ripley? I'm not fucking around. You want a recording contract with a big label and a splashy tour? Then we'll make it happen, and we'll conquer it together. You've never been part of a team before, and it's time you understood what that's like. It's too much, too fast. I don't know if I can do this. Sugar, all you have to do is try.
24. Boone is slaying me one word at a time. I'm terrified that I'll fall for the picture he's painting, and I'll wake up and find out that it's all a dream, or a nightmare. Instead of giving him the answer he wants to hear, I crush my mouth to his. You're not going to distract me, he says on a ragged breath as he pulls away. Then consider this me trying. Boone groans and curses. Fuck, I want you. But damn it, I've never had sex at my folks' house. His admission shocks me. Are you serious? I respected them too much. Besides, I had my truck, and that worked fine. Now I'm trying to picture a younger Boone and what he must have been like. Cocky, arrogant, and probably the hottest guy in school. You were a total player, weren't you? Now, what makes you automatically assume that? How could you not be? Boone laughs. As much as I love your vote of confidence, Sugar, I wasn't always a stud. Right, superstar, I don't believe it. I'm sliding back into normal, not-so-freaked-out territory. My folks didn't have money. My truck was pieced together from the salvage yard. It was 3 different colors until I could save up the money to paint it myself in the auto body class, and I had to carry an extra quart of oil around with me just in case it burned it all. I wasn't anything special. There were plenty of girls that wouldn't look twice at me because I didn't live up to their standards. Hey, you got one up on me. I didn't even have a car in high school, and I bet you anything those girls are kicking themselves hard now. Boone chuckles. A few of them managed to get meet-and-greet passes and tried to hook up with me after a concert. I hope you shut them down hard. What do you think? I think you definitely did. My hand skims down his t-shirt to trail over the waistband of his jeans. Speaking of hard, let's just put this on the table. I know you're distracting me, and we both know you're damn good at it, but this conversation isn't over. We're gonna come back to this. And you're going to tell me you understand where we're going, and you're on board with it.
There's plenty of time to talk about that later. My voice has taken on a husky tone, and I reach for the button of Boone's fly. Right now, I'd rather make you come. With a flick of my wrist, I pop the button and tug down the zipper. He groans when my hand closes around his cock. So, are we going to go for a ride in your truck? Or are you finally going to man up and bang a girl at your parents' house? I can't help but giggle as I say it. Although you should know, I'm not opposed to the truck.
Oh, I'll definitely have you in my truck one of these days. Don't you doubt it for a second. But tonight we're not leaving this room. I swear, you're the only one who could tempt me into this. You're a dangerous woman.
I squeeze him a little tighter. You're only saying that because my hand is wrapped around your dick. Boone catches my hand and squeezes it tighter.
Nah, you won't break me, Sugar. Feel free to get a little rough.
An impulse slams into me, surprising me enough to have me stumbling over my next move. I want him in my mouth. I want to drive him so crazy he can't remember his own name. I want him never to forget this night or me. I'm not the kind of girl who gets to her knees for a man, but with Boone, something's different. Maybe it's the fact that he's never asked me, never even brought it up. Or maybe it's because he's gone down on me multiple times, never expecting anything in return. Whatever it is, I want this. I slide to my knees,
ready to break a long-term ban on giving head, but Boone grabs me by the elbows and hauls me up.
I don't want you on your knees. I want that pussy on my face.
Heat pulses between my legs. Okay.
Atta girl.
He kicks off his jeans before stripping off mine and tipping us both backward onto the bed. I land on top of him.
First, give me this mouth. I can never get enough of this mouth.
I was trying to—
Shush.
His lips capture mine and I lose myself in the kiss. His tongue sweeps inside, tasting and teasing, before his teeth nip my lips and I nip back.
You'll always bite back, won't you?
I give as good as I get. Boone's blue eyes blaze.
Guess we're going to find out right now.
He sits up.
Spin around and give me that sweet pussy.
Oh, God. 69? I've never been a fan of that. But then again, with Boone, everything is different. I guess I don't have to worry about putting my ass in his face since he's already laid claim to it. I'm going for it. With a smirk and zero shame, I shift into place, my legs spread over Boone's face, and he wastes no time gripping my ass and pulling me closer. I've barely got my lips to the head of his cock when he devours me. It's everything I can do to keep my focus on the goal, and I completely and utterly fail. Two orgasms later, both mine, I finally scoot down Boone's body. This is so not fair, I protest.
What? That you can't help but lose your mind when my lips touch your pussy? Not sure why you sound upset about that.
Because this was my show. My turn. He shakes his head and grips his cock with one hand.
Then by all means, sugar, climb on and take it home.
Being on top is another thing I've never really loved because of the way everything bounces and jiggles, especially if it's not pitch dark in the room. Boone notices my hesitation.
You change your mind.
It's time to woman up, which isn't exactly a hardship with the way Boone is staring at me. Things jiggle when I'm on top, I confess. Boone's eyebrows go up.
And thank fuck for that. Do you have any idea how sexy you are when those sweet tits are bouncing? God, I'm halfway ready to come just thinking about it. And being able to get my mouth on them while you ride me. Shit. I'm gonna have to fight to make it last. And when I get my hands on that luscious ass of yours.
He groans.
I'm a goner. Hell, I'm already a goner, Ripley. You've got me. The only thing you're gonna do is pull me in deeper by dropping that guard and tossing those inhibitions aside. Can you do that?
When he puts it like that. Yeah, I can. I situate myself on top of Boone and do exactly that.
25. When I decided to make the impromptu trip home with Ripley, I totally forgot the rodeo was Saturday night. It closes the season and is a big event for the town, which means the Thrasher family always shows up in full force. You ever been to the rodeo, Ripley? Ma asks as we walk toward the gates at the edge of the fairgrounds. No, ma'am, I haven't. I've always wanted to go, though. You're in for a treat. But get ready, everyone will want to see Boone. Shouldn't you have security with you here? Ripley asks me quietly, concern in her voice. Nah, not here. If someone tried to pull some shit, the entire town would be on them in a heartbeat. This is probably the safest place I could be, other than at home. Are you sure? I think it's sweet that she's so worried about me. Sugar, despite what you think, I can handle myself if something goes down. If you say so. The disbelief in her tone makes me want to prove it to her, but I'm beyond the stage in my life where I go looking for a fight. Boone's a hometown hero, my dad says. He's done so much for this place, they've even dedicated the new baseball stadium to him. Thrasher Field has a great ring to it. Seriously? I don't usually talk about all the charitable stuff I do because that's not why I do it. I was home one weekend and Kyle and I decided to swing by the field and catch a tournament game. The old baseball diamond where I used to play was a wreck. The bleachers were empty because people were terrified they were going to collapse. It wasn't right, so I offered to help. There's a different light in Ripley's eyes when she looks up at me. That's really cool of you.
So you don't just rescue women with sprained ankles and take them to the hospital against their will? You're quite the do-gooder despite your bad boy reputation. Ma cranes her head to get a better look at me when she hears what Ripley says, and I swear I see approval on her face. He's as good as it gets, Ripley, and I'm not saying that just because he's my son. After we pay for our tickets, we spot Grant and Wendy waving from the grandstands where they've saved us seats with a couple of plaid blankets. Usually it's Ma and Dad who do the seat saving, because Grant and Wendy are late more often than not since Kyle was born 5 years ago, but they managed to pull it together tonight. There's Arlene and Artie Johansson. Rand, we gotta go say hello so I can ask about their new grandbaby. She was over the moon to finally have a first. Dad knows how Ma is about keeping a finger on the pulse of what's happening in town, so he just says, "Lead the way, Susie Q." She glances at me. "We'll be back in a few. Take your time, Ma." The crowd thickens as we near the grandstands, and I reach down and curl my hand around Ripley's, in part to keep her close, but also because I like it. When we reach the foot of the stairs that will take us up to our seats, a voice stops me. "Well, I'll be damned. Look who lowered himself to come home and mingle with the common folk." Ripley's head turns sharply in the direction of the drawl coming from inside the metal stock fence that separates the rodeo action from the crowd. "I thought you just got yourself dumped, Boone. You already moved on to greener pastures. Must be nice being such a hot shot that the ladies can't keep their hands off you." I squeeze Ripley's hand before releasing it in favor of draping an arm around her shoulder and turning to face the skinny man in jean shorts five sizes too big, held up by hot pink suspenders. The uniform of a rodeo clown, and the description fits him perfectly. Lou Bigler never quite forgave me for that one night his sister sneaked her way into my truck and I politely told her to get out. He tried to beat the hell out of me in phys ed the Monday after, but I gave him a black eye instead, and we both got suspended. "Hey, Lou. Thanks for saying hi. Good to see you." I attempt the polite route, even though I'd rather tell him to fuck off. But he's the type who'd sell any dirt to the papers for a dollar. "How long's this one gonna last? I swear you had a record with the last one, but it turned out she was a little too smart for you since she decided to jump ship." I don't acknowledge his comments. Instead, I put to work the gossip Ma still feels the need to share with me regularly. "I hear you're on divorce number 3, Lou. Hope that's going smoothly. Good luck with the custody battle this time around. Maybe 4 will be your lucky number." Lou's clown-painted face twists into a harsh smirk. "You just love to come back to this town and act like king shit, but we all know you're nothing special. Anyone could sing into a microphone and let those computers fix their voice. I hear they do it all the time. Shit, it's harder to stand in front of the damn bowls that'll be coming out tonight. If you had a real pair of balls, maybe you'd be out here instead of me." "Nah, Lou. You got big enough balls for both of us. Makes sense why you gotta wear the extra large shorts to cover those massive nuts." He reaches down and grabs his crotch, apparently uncaring that there are little kids present. "They're just keeping up with the size of my massive..." "Louis Bigler, you better not be about to say what I think you're gonna say." Ma's voice cuts through the crowd before I can respond. "Because I know a father like yourself would never use any kind of foul language around children." Lou straightens up real quick, dropping his hold on his dick. "No, ma'am. We're just catching up for old time's sake. Didn't mean no harm." "That's what I thought. You be careful out there tonight. We need to make sure you get home in one piece to those little angels of yours." "Yes, ma'am. Will do, ma'am." Ma turns to Ripley and me. "Let's get our seats, shall we?" She leads the way up to the third row where Grant and Wendy and Kyle are seated, and I throw a last glance back at Lou. His eyes are narrowed on me like he hasn't forgotten a damn thing, and his chin lifts when he sees my look. Some people never lose the chip on their shoulder. When we slide down the road to take our seats on the blanket Grant laid out, he gets up to run Kyle to the bathroom. Wendy says she has to pee too, and my parents offer to get drinks and popcorn for everyone. "That guy was interesting," Ripley mutters once we're alone. I press a kiss to her temple like it's the most natural thing in the world. "That's small town life for you right there. He's been harboring a grudge since our junior year of high school." "Sounded to me like he's jealous." I shrug. "Maybe.
A lot of these people still remember me as a punk kid who drove a loud truck too fast and took out a few of their mailboxes, or maybe believed a rumor that I got their daughter or sister or cousin in the back seat. That's where it ends for them. Then they see me on TV and can't figure out how that punk kid got so damn lucky to be living the good life. Doesn't seem fair, I expect. Ripley's brows draw together. Do they not realize that you paid your dues to climb to the top? Or how hard you bust your ass to stay where you are? Or what you sacrifice to be away from your family? Or what it's like to have the paparazzi threatening to capture any moment of your life you think might be private? If they don't see all that, they're only getting a fraction of the picture. Hearing Ripley leap to my defense so quickly and with such ferocity tells me that I'm making progress. It also turns me way the fuck on. I shift to face her and lift her chin before stealing a kiss. It sounds like you might actually like me, I murmur against her lips. Shut up. You know I like you. I pull back a fraction of an inch and meet those stormy gray eyes. I'm wearing you down. Pretty soon you're gonna fall in love with me.
26. Boone's words crash into my chest, and instead of causing a heart attack, they kick off a cascade of warmth that envelops me. This time, I'm the one who leans in and presses our lips together.
Get a room, Thrasher.
The call comes from below us, and I jerk back and look around. Shit, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking. Crap, there could be pictures. I'm ready to curl up with embarrassment when Boone lays his hand on my thigh and squeezes.
Let him watch. You're my girl, and I don't give a damn who knows it. Especially not this asshole.
A big man approximately the size of a grizzly bear shakes the bleachers as he stomps up the three steps toward us.
Damn, brother. It's been a coon's age.
Boone stands and does this back-slapping man-hug thing with the guy, and I'm worried that the giant might knock him down. Boone's over 6 feet tall, and yet this guy looks like he's around 6'8", with shoulders that are massive.
Jerry Lee, you're gonna break my damn back one of these days. Nah, you can take it, tough guy. You didn't tell me you were coming back to town. I just heard the gossip running through the crowd all the way up at the announcer booth.
He finally glances over at me.
You're a sweet little thing, aren't you? Boone, how you always finding the most beautiful women to take around? Do I need to sell a million damn records before I finally find a winner?
Boone laughs his ass off.
No, man. You just gotta quit hanging out at the lodge with all the old men.
I hold out my hand. I'm Ripley.
Damn, even your name is super cool. I swear this joker gets all the luck. You another country star, sweetness? Those lips and eyes could sell me a record without even hearing your voice. Hey now, reel it in. I'm not letting you put the moves on my girl right in front of me.
From his tone, I can tell Boone is joking, but also that his buddy likes the idea that he could put the moves on me, and Boone does it to puff up his ego. I've seen plenty of male posturing and weird behavior in the bar, so this isn't exactly new territory for me. I'm a bartender, I say. I don't know about a record, but I could sell the crap out of some Jack and Coke.
Shit. I guess I need to start spending a lot more time in bars.
Boone sits down and slides his arm around me again.
You ain't gonna find another woman like her. Guaranteed. So what's going on, Jer? You came all the way down from the announcer stand to try and steal my girl? Because I'm not letting you snake this one like you did Cindy Hooper. You're never gonna let me live that down, are you? Hell no.
Jerry Lee shrugs and looks at me.
Cindy Hooper was the head cheerleader, and Boone here thought he had her in the bag. Turns out, he counted on that one too quick. Asshole. Ha, like you care. You've obviously upgraded, and Cindy's married to a garbage man in Chattahoochee. I think things turned out for the best. Besides, that's not why I came down here. When I heard you were in town and visiting our fine little rodeo, I knew I had to ask you to do the honors.
What honors? I ask.
Sing the national anthem, of course.
He looks at Boone expectantly.
What do you say, man? Give the town a show? I'm not here to attract attention, Jer. I wanted Rip to meet my folks and have a fun weekend. You're about as good at laying low as I am at getting dates. Look around. Everyone's already talking about y'all. Might as well give him a show.
Boone looks to me.
You mind?
Me? No, of course not. I'm shocked he'd even ask, and then I remember he was used to being with Amber Fleet. One guest says she was a diva who didn't like having him take the spotlight off her. Go do your thing. Give them all something to talk about in church tomorrow. Besides, you can show that asshole Lou that you don't need autotune. I shoot him a wink. A smile stretches over Boone's face.
You're so goddamn perfect. It's almost scary. So that's a yes?
Jerry Lee asks.
That's a yes. Hot damn. This'll get the rodeo on the front page for sure now. We've been trying to beat out the Garden Club's annual election, and this seals it. Come on down with me, and I'll get you set up.
Boone stands up and looks around. His parents, brother, sister-in-law, and nephew are all still gone. I can read the hesitation on his face. Go, it's fine. I'm a big girl.
They'll be back in a few.
I'll hold down the fort. Go give him a show, superstar. Boone leans down and wraps a hand around my neck before pressing a hard kiss to my lips.
I'll be back soon.
He follows Jerry Lee down the bleachers, and I'm left alone with the blankets.
Well, I'll be damned. I never thought I'd see the day when Boone Thrasher finally found himself a keeper.
I turn around to see an older woman, probably about Boone's mom's age, with her arms crossed and an aluminum Budweiser bottle hanging from between her fingertips. Excuse me?
Trudy Miles, Boone's unofficial godmother. But damned if that boy was going to notice me tonight when he doesn't have eyes for anyone but you. And you don't seem to have nearly as big a stick up your ass like the last one.
Trudy, you keep your tongue in your head.
Boone's mom stops beside me, her arms full of 3 bags of popcorn.
Where the heck did that boy get off to, leaving you all alone?
He went to sing the national anthem, ma'am.
She even calls you ma'am, Susie. How precious. You better tell that boy to keep this one. She doesn't seem like a bitch.
I'm officially in the Twilight Zone, caught between 2 ladies who clearly have a lot of history, and I'm fresh out of words.
As long as Boone likes her, we're happy for him.
It's not exactly a ringing endorsement from Mrs. Thrasher. She takes a seat, and Boone's dad comes up the steps with 4 Bud Lights.
Where the hell did Boone go?
National anthem, his mom says, repeating the answer I gave her.
Really? I'm surprised. He didn't want to last time.
Well, we all know why that was.
It has to be because of Amber. I want to ask, but it's not my place. Mr. Thrasher hands me a Bud Light.
Knew that girl was a diva from the minute they pulled up, and she screamed and practically climbed Boone to get away from Buford.
Oh, shush. She's in the past, and we can all be happy about it, but we don't need to bring her up every 5 minutes. We don't want to make Ripley uncomfortable.
It's fine, I say. I know this whole thing must seem a little fast. Of course, Boone's brother chooses that moment to return to his seat with his wife and son in tow.
You think? He's barely been single for 5 minutes before he shows up with you. He's always rushed into shit. Remember when he used his fake ID at the Army recruiter's office?
Boone's dad speaks up.
I rushed your ma. Proposed on the 2nd date. Took me until the 5th to get her to say yes. Ain't nothing wrong with going after what you want. Still, I think he needs some time to sort his shit out.
I don't know what possesses me to add my 2 cents to a conversation that clearly doesn't need my input, but I do anyway. Boone seems to know his own mind. Grant's skeptical gaze skewers me.
If he does, then you certainly won the jackpot in the lottery of life. He better get a damn prenup.
Even though I should expect it, the venom in his words catches me off guard.
Are you serious? You think I'm trying to hook up with him for his money?
I try to keep my voice down, but the accusation makes my tone grow shrill.
You had a job when you hooked up with him, and now you don't. I feel like that's no accident,
Grant says. Boone's brother is kind of a dick.
Because he decided to have an impromptu show in my bar, it got shut down by the fire marshal for overcapacity. And then I got my ass reamed and ended up losing the job I've had since before I was old enough to legally work.
My entire future was tied up with the fishbowl, and after your brother's help one night, I ended up homeless and unemployed. Grant's brows dive into deep slashes.
What the hell are you talking about?
You want more? I took a job working for a friend who let me sleep on her futon. I was back at work behind another bar as fast as I could get there so I could earn some money, because I sank my entire savings into keeping my family business afloat. So don't tell me I'm looking to Boone for a handout. I was pissed that he arranged for me to get this weekend off because the tips are better on Friday and Saturday, and I'm missing out on a chance to hopefully save up for a deposit on my own place. Mrs. Thrasher tilts her head and shakes a finger at her son.
Grant, what have I told you a million times? You know better than to judge.
He crosses his arms.
Let's just say after that last one left him hanging when he was going to propose, I'm a little protective of my brother.
Good. That's great. But I'm not a damn thing like her. I've worked my ass off, and even though I don't have jack crap to show for it right now, I will someday.
I infuse all my determination in my words.
I like her,
Boone's dad says before he takes a swig of beer.
She's feisty. She'll keep Boone on his toes and stop him from getting too impressed with himself.
Mrs. Thrasher opens her mouth to say something else, but the announcer's deep voice booms through the speakers.
You all ready for a rodeo tonight?
The crowd cheers in response.
And let's get this show started. We've got a special guest here to kick us off with the national anthem. Please stand, remove your hats, and face the flag at the north end of the arena. Here's Nashville recording artist and hometown hero, Boone Thrasher, to sing it for y'all.
Boone walks into the arena from the direction of the chutes, microphone in hand, and that deep, gravelly voice silences the crowd. With my hand over my heart, I face the flag, but my eyes are glued to Boone. The national anthem isn't exactly the easiest song to sing, but he kills it. Shivers run down my spine as he belts it out. The entire crowd cheers as he reaches the end, and then start chanting his name, Boone, Boone, Boone. Boone turns and waves to the crowd as the rodeo clowns come running out, ready to entertain the masses. Then all hell breaks loose.
27. I hear it before I see it. The clang of metal against metal as they load a bowl into the chute and the slamming of a solid ton of weight against the gate. I whip around to see the gate fly off as the hinges fail. Then my eyes zero in on the pissed-off bull's horns and the snot dripping from its nose as its hooves thunder toward me. Lou is closer to the bull, his back to it as he faces me. I don't know if he's been momentarily struck deaf, but he doesn't turn around. Lou! When I yell his name, he looks at me instead of the bull. Fuck, it's gonna run him right over. Hesitation could mean his skull being crushed in the dirt, so I don't think. I bolt toward him, throwing myself at him like I used to in football practice. I swear I see the whites of the bull's eyes before my body connects with Lou's, shoving him out of the way. The animal turns and bucks, spinning toward us. Something hard cracks against my head before everything goes black.
28. It's like one of those caught-on-video shows where you know something horrible is going to happen. You don't want to watch, but you can't take your eyes off the screen. A bull charges from the chute as the rodeo clowns come out, and people start screaming. The guy in his hot pink suspenders from earlier doesn't turn, doesn't look, doesn't see the massive beast charging at him. But Boone sees it.
Please, God, no!
Mrs. Thrasher's hand is over her mouth. Everything happens so fast, I barely have time to comprehend what I'm seeing. Boone dives at the man, and the bull changes direction, its hooves flying. And one catches Boone in the head. He goes down, landing limply on top of the man who was such an asshole to him when we arrived. I don't even think about moving. Next thing I know, I'm out of my seat and running down the bleacher stairs, then throwing myself over the fence. I land on my hands and knees in the dirt and scramble up to take off in a sprint. The other rodeo cowboys and two men on horses are rounding up the bull and corralling it toward the pen. But all I see is Boone's unmoving body on the ground. People scream, sirens wail, but my mind goes blank when I see the blood dripping down the side of his face. Red.
the same color as the puddle on the bathroom floor around my mama. No, I can't lose him too. Boone! I'm terrified to touch him, terrified to move him, in case he has some sort of head or neck injury. My limited first aid knowledge comes back to me, and I rip off my long-sleeved shirt and hold it to his head to stop the bleeding.
Ma'am, you have to move. You can't be in here.
Someone touches my shoulder, but I slap them away with the other hand.
What the fuck happened?
The body beneath Boone shifts, and Boone's head lolls to the side.
Don't fucking move, asshole. Stay right there.
My voice snaps out with the order.
Paramedics are coming. Ambulance was already here in case of an emergency.
Someone else drops to his knees beside me in the dirt.
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Even from our limited acquaintance, I recognize the voice. It's Boone's brother.
Hold on, little brother. You're gonna be just fine. Wake up, Boone. Come on, man.
The paramedics run into the arena with a backboard, but I don't move the shirt, now soaked with blood, from Boone's head.
Ma'am, we need you to move so the paramedics can help. They're gonna take good care of him, I promise.
My body is frozen in place, the blood staining my hands.
Ripley, come on. We gotta let them help.
Grant lays his hand over mine, breaking me loose from my paralysis. I jerk my gaze away from Boone to meet blue eyes so much like his. Grant wraps both arms around me and pulls me to my feet as the paramedics drop the backboard and get to work.
I know. He's gonna be okay. He's got a hard head. He's a tough son of a bitch. They don't grow him any stronger than the Thrashers, I promise you. Let's get over to the ambulance.
My hands shake as all the discordant thoughts crash together in my head. My eyes stay fixed on Boone as Grant drags me away. Tears stream down my face as they move him off Lou and start to work on him.
He's gonna be fine, I swear.
Grant repeats the words over and over as he walks us toward the gate where the ambulance is waiting. A crowd rushes the fence, all eyes on Boone.
Ma!
Mr. and Mrs. Thrasher shove their way through the people to get to the gate.
Is he unconscious? Who's going in the ambulance? I'm going to get my truck. Grant, give me your keys,
Mr. Thrasher says, and Grant throws his keys to him.
I'll give them to Wendy so she can take Kai home and wait for us to call.
One of you give this girl a shirt, Mrs. Thrasher says, staring down at my tank top. I didn't even notice the chill bumps prickling my arms. It's okay, I'm fine. My focus is on the backboard they're carrying toward us.
Someone's gotta go with him. Ma?
My heart twists at the thought of letting Boone out of my sight for a single second. Ripley? You want to go? Boone's mom's voice catches me off guard, and I tear my gaze away from him to look at her. I shake my head. You go, ma'am. I don't know his blood type or if he's allergic to any drugs. They'll need the best information they can get. And as much as I want to crawl in there beside him and not take my eyes off him, he needs you more. Something passes over her face, but it's gone before I can identify it. She gives me a nod. We'll see you at the hospital. My boy is tough. He's going to be just fine. You'll see. I know. He has to be. There's no other option. Mrs. Thrasher rushes away from us to the open doors of the ambulance and climbs in. Grant wraps an arm around me.
Let's go. Dad'll pick us up at the entrance.
With Grant at my side, we push through the crowd, not giving a damn that people are trying to talk to us and ask us what's going on. Hell, we don't even take an extra second to be polite. We're like-minded in one single purpose, to get to the truck and then to Boone. Mr. Thrasher's truck is idling at the gate, and Grant pulls me around to the passenger side and yanks open the door.
Get in.
I climb up, and he hops into the back seat. Once the doors are closed, Mr. Thrasher takes off, steering around the people in the parking lot.
Bet you can beat him there, Dad. We'll get there at the same time. I ain't taking chances with either of you two.
Tense silence chokes up the cab of the truck until Grant finally breaks it.
Fuck. I'm going to have to apologize to him if this is anything like he felt while I was being airlifted to Germany.
I remember Boone saying he was on a USO tour when his brother was injured in Afghanistan.
That was the hand of God making sure my boy wasn't alone in his time of need. Where was the hand of God tonight with the hoof of that fucking bull?
Mr. Thrasher shakes his head.
Doesn't matter as long as he's okay. And he's gonna be okay.
When we pull up in front of the hospital 15 minutes later, Grant and I both jump out of the truck like it's on fire. The ambulance is already parked at the doors to the ER, so we rush inside. Boone's mom is standing in the waiting room, her arms wrapped around herself. They took him back to be examined, told me to wait out here for a few minutes. She looks at me. Grant, give Ripley your sweatshirt. Poor thing is freezing. I'm shivering, but it's not because of the cold. It's fine. I'm okay. I look down at my hands, streaked with dried blood from Boone's head, just like they'd been covered with blood from my mama. I have to get it off. I have to get it off. I jerk my head around, looking for the sign to the restroom. When I see it, I look at Grant and Mrs. Thrasher. I'll be right back. If they come out, please. Grant glances down at my blood-stained hands and then meets my eyes. He nods at me like he gets it.
We'll wait for you.
Thank you, I whisper before making a beeline toward the ladies' room door. No one else is inside the institutional white bathroom, and I'm thankful for the privacy. I pump soap from the dispenser and flip on the water, scrubbing my hands together harder than necessary, but I have to get it off. I look into the mirror as I rinse. My eyes wild. I could lose him. In the flash of a moment, the possibility slaps me in the face again. I haven't even decided if I want to make this real, and I could already lose him. A tear breaks free and tracks down my face. I drop my gaze. I can't watch myself cry because I'll end up bawling like a baby, curled into the corner, and Boone deserves better than that. That thought doesn't stop another tear from sliding down, or the vice that binds my chest, crushing it and stealing my breath. I can't lose him. His family can't lose him. The tears come faster now, and the blood still hasn't come off my hands. I get more soap from the dispenser and keep scrubbing to try to take my mind off the path where it was headed, but I can't. My reflection is impossible to make out now with the tears clouding my vision, so I blink and look up at the ceiling. That sweet little boy can't lose his uncle. Please, God, if you're out there listening, please don't put this family through the hell of losing him. I know they're strong, but they're good people, and they don't deserve this. Before I can start making promises about what I'll do if he'll just let him live, someone pushes the door open and walks toward the stalls. I duck my head and attempt to wipe my tears on my bare shoulder. After I rinse my hands one more time, they're finally free of blood. I grab paper towels from the dispenser and use them to erase the tear streaks on my face as well. It's not until I'm leaving the bathroom that a thought crosses my mind. What would I have been willing to promise to make sure Boone pulls through? When I see his family huddled in the corner of the waiting room, his dad curving an arm around his mom's shoulder and Grant squeezing her hand on the other side, I know the answer. Anything. They look like such a solid unit that I don't want to cross the floor to interrupt them. I'm an outsider, and I know it. I fold my arms around my now chilling skin and squeeze. Grant releases his mom's hand when he spots me and rises to his feet. He strides toward me and yanks off his hoodie before stopping in front of me and draping it around my shoulders.
You're not gonna say no. I could see you shivering from across the room.
Cocooned in the huge sweatshirt, I push my arms into the sleeves and curl my fists into the fabric. Thank you. I would have been fine.
Maybe so. But Boone would kick my ass, and Ma would ask what happened to the manor she beat into me as a kid, so we'll just go with it.
Thank you, I whisper again. Then he shocks me. Grant closes both arms around me and squeezes me against his body.
It's gonna be okay, Ripley. He's stubborn. He's got too much life ahead of him to do anything but live it on his own terms.
The tears that were falling fast in the bathroom spill over again, and sobs rack my body. You can't lose him. Kai needs an uncle. Your mom and dad— Grant hugs me tighter.
We're not gonna lose him. None of us are. You included.
He presses a kiss to my head and holds me for long minutes as I cry my tears on his shoulder. No one held me when I cried for my mama. I curled up by myself and sat in the corner of the bathroom after I mopped the floor, bawling until I had nothing left. So I appreciate this hug more than Grant will ever realize. I've known Boone's family for just over 24 hours, and they've already given me more than mine has in almost 30 years. That thought sends another wave of tears spilling over. Finally, I snuffle back my sobs, lift my head, and swipe at my eyes. Thank you for that. Grant meets my gaze, and instead of the skepticism that was there only a couple of hours ago, I now see approval.
I'm the one who should thank you.
Before I can ask him what he would possibly need to thank me for, he adds,
Come on, let's go sit with Ma and Dad. We're stronger when we lean on each other.
His simple words hit me deep inside. We're stronger when we lean on each other. I've never had that. I never thought I would have that. And now, in this family's nightmare, the guy who I thought was an asshole is drawing me into the fold. Okay. We cross to the corner of the room where Mr. and Mrs. Thrasher wait and sit in silence until a man in scrubs comes out from behind double doors and turns toward us.
You're here with Mr. Thrasher?
Yes, we're his family, Mrs. Thrasher responds, and the description causes my heart to clench.
He's awake, but we're taking him right now for a CT scan to check for further damage. We'll get you back there as soon as he's done. Please have a seat, and I'll be out shortly.
He's awake. Praise the Lord, Mrs. Thrasher whispers, grabbing my hand and squeezing. Mr. Thrasher crushes her to his side.
Thank God. You know we raised a strong boy.
I thought I was all out of tears, but when more cascade down my cheeks, Grant pulls me against him and pats my hair.
I told you it's going to be just fine, Ripley. He's tough, hard head.
I hiccup, wanting to say something, but the words escape me. Mr. Thrasher gets up.
I gotta do something. I can't just sit here.
Go get us some coffee. It's gonna be a long night, so I'm thinking we can use it.
Sure thing, Susie Q. I can do that.
Mr. Thrasher strides off toward a hallway. I pull away from Grant's shoulder and swipe at my eyes. I'm so sorry. I don't usually cry. He gives me a soft smile.
It's okay.
Grant, call Wendy and give her the update. Have her tell Kai that Uncle Boone is okay. He was freaking out something fierce, Mrs. Thrasher says. Grant gives me a nod and stands.
Will do. That boy loves his uncle.
He walks toward the doors to step outside and make his call, leaving Mrs. Thrasher and me alone in the corner of the waiting room. The matriarch of the Thrasher clan doesn't screw around when it comes to family, and I respect her for that. She reaches over and clutches my hand again. You look like a warrior princess running to her fallen man on the battlefield. That's what Rand said. He's always had a more fanciful imagination than me, but I have to say he's right in this instance. That bowl wasn't even contained when you threw yourself over the fence, girl. What the hell were you thinking? I meet her faded blue gaze and blink back more tears that burn my eyes at the rough emotion in her voice. I didn't think. I had to get to him. Any woman who'd put herself in the path of 2,000 pounds of bull to get to my boy deserves my respect, and you have it. I'll never forget that moment for as long as I live. She pauses. One thing you can always count on. Love makes us do stupid things. Her last words shock me. Love? She studies my face carefully. You don't even realize it, do you? My stammer comes out sounding ridiculous. Mrs. Thrasher squeezes my hand again. It's okay, Ripley. You'll figure it out soon enough for yourself. But I'll tell you, there's not a single soul in that arena tonight who has any doubt about how much you care for my son. You didn't have to say a word because everyone saw it in your actions.
Care. Okay, I can handle that.
Of course I care about him. He's a good man. Maybe the best one I've ever known. Her grip on my hand tightens. And the fact that you only see the man and not the star tells me that you're as different from the last one as you could possibly be. It feels wrong to bring thoughts of Amber into this waiting room, but I can't say I'm not curious when Boone's mom tells me I'm different.
What do you mean? That girl wouldn't have lifted a finger tonight. She might have wrung her hands and worried about how this would affect her, but there's no way in hell she would have climbed a fence in her stilettos and run through the dirt to get to his side, let alone ripped her shirt off and used it to staunch the bleeding. I might be an old lady from the country, but I got a knack for reading people. You were closed up tighter than a drum when you first walked into my house, not letting any of us see the real Ripley or how you felt about my boy. I decided to give you the benefit of the doubt because Boone told me plenty that gave me hope. When I met you, I wasn't totally sure, though. She pauses meaningfully. But I'm sure now. He finally picked a woman worthy of him, and I don't say that lightly. The doors to the ER open and close as Grant paces in front of them, talking on the phone. I see your true colors, Ripley Fisher. You may not realize you're in love with Boone yet, but I see it, just as clearly as I see that he's in love with you. Grant hangs up and crosses toward us in time to catch the tail end of what his mom says. My stomach knots, wondering what he's going to say. He tucks the phone away in his pocket, his gaze moving from me to his mom and back.
She's right, you know. I thought you were going to be like Amber, fake and clinging to your lottery ticket, but you're a different breed. I mean that in the best way possible.
Mr. Thrasher returns with 4 cups of coffee in a cardboard carrier.
Kid in the cafeteria says that the news crews are already showing up. Don't know who tipped them off, but they're here. You see him out there, Grant?
Grant nods.
Yeah, a couple of guys.
Mr. Thrasher hands out the coffee.
Anything else I miss?
We all know he's talking about the doctors and Boone, so my jaw drops when Grant answers him.
Ma and I are about to lay bets on how long it takes Ripley to become an official part of the family.
Mr. Thrasher offers a giant cup of coffee to me.
Not long, if that boy's as smart as I think he is.
29. My head feels like it's been trampled by a herd of cows instead of just one pissed-off bull. But once the doctor staples the gas shut and they run me through a bunch of tests, they decide I'm not going to kick the bucket anytime soon. We'd like you to stay overnight for observation as a precaution. I look at the doctor and ask him point blank. If I wasn't me, but instead was some poor schmuck with no insurance, would you have me staying overnight? Well, Mr. Thrasher, this is a different situation. I'm taking that as a no. Boy, if they want to keep you overnight, you stay overnight. Ma's voice comes from the private room's door as it creaks open. Ma, I'm fine. I just need someone to wake me every couple hours to make sure the concussion doesn't kick my ass. Sir, it would be best if you... I took a hoof to the skull, not a bullet. I'll be fine, Doc. Get my discharge rolling. I'll sign out against medical advice if I have to. Doesn't matter to me. My gaze slides past Ma to clamp on Ripley. I want to get out of here before the vultures descend. Too late. They're already here, Ma says. I shake my head, but realize quickly that's a mistake when it pounds harder. Of course they are. All the more reason to get the hell out. I'll take care of those papers for you, Mr. Thrasher. Thanks, Doc. Ripley doesn't speak until the door closes behind the doctor, leaving her and Ma inside. Are you crazy? If they want you to stay, you should stay. Ripley crosses her arms over her chest, and I give her a sidelong look. This coming from the woman who didn't want to step foot in the hospital, even though I thought your ankle might be broken. You're not the only stubborn one here. No, but she might be the bravest. You should have seen her throw herself over that fence. I wonder if anyone recorded it, Grant says as he walks in. I look at Ripley, but her gaze darts away. It sounds like there's a story there I need to hear. Grant pulls out his phone and starts searching. Sure enough, here it is. Ripley's face turns bright red. Are you serious? Who would film that? Why weren't they calling 911? What is wrong with people? Give it here. I hold out my hand. Boone, it's not important. You need to rest. I want to see that video even more than I want to close my eyes and give in to sleep. I grab the phone from Grant and ignore the pounding in my head. The angle must have been from somewhere higher up in the grandstand because they don't catch Ripley until she hits the stock fence and flings herself over.
She lands in the dirt, then sprints toward me and skids to her knees. My heart clenches when I see the bull still running free for a good 30 seconds before they have him contained. My gaze cuts from the phone to her dirty jeans and then back to the screen. I watch the rest of the recording and see how Grant practically had to drag her away from my side. When I hand the phone back to him, there's a fist gripping my heart and squeezing. I see it, and from the looks on my parents' and brothers' faces, they see it too. Ripley's in love with me. From her expression, she's goddamn terrified. One more reason I need to get out of this hospital. The nurse knocks and opens the door. All right, Mr. Thrasher, I've got your paperwork. Good. I'm ready to get the hell out of here. Grant goes to get his truck, and we plan to meet him at a side entrance where the press hopefully won't be waiting. Ripley and Ma walk on either side of the wheelchair the nurse insisted I ride in. I was going to argue, but it wasn't worth it. Besides, I'm